The text for this morning is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which makes such a great dovetail with the gospel this morning, in which Jesus is proclaimed king. But in the epistle, we find out how it is that Paul prays for us as subjects of the king. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity many of us have had over these days to be with family, to celebrate. And now in the midst of that, Lord, we take this pause point and celebrate you as king and our identity as your faithful subjects. Lord, bless us in this word, in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. I asked this question last night, and after the service, somebody asked me to kind of qualify it. Maybe I needed to give a little bit of explanation. A paper boy or paper girl. How many of you know what I'm talking about already? Yeah, there's a few not. Okay. Those are young boys and girls who delivered an analog version of that thing that you get on your device. You know, the little digital thing that's called the newspaper or whatever. Newspaper is these big pieces of paper that open up like this, and they fold, and you can have it comfortably with your coffee in the morning. All right. Long time ago in a land far, far away called Rockford, Illinois, our children had paper routes. Any of you have a paper route when you were a kid? Not too many. Any of you have kids that have paper routes? Very few. And the reason is because if you have kids who have paper routes, you have a paper route. You're up with them. And the reason I bring up the paper route thing is I was impacted by, yet, in this analog version of that thing that you get on your device, this thing that we call the newspaper, I saw on people's driveways and in doorsteps that giant pack of stuff that comes with the Thursday Thanksgiving newspaper. It outweighs the actual newspaper by about 3 to 4 times, weighs about 4 pounds, and it's packed with ads. Advertising for Black Friday and Small Business Saturday, and tomorrow is what? Cyber Monday, and even Giving Tuesday. So here we stand in Christ the King Sunday, and let ourselves be lifted up out of that morass of commercialism and the idea that we wanted to buy those things. But those ads, all that stuff packed up, are the reasons that the Meggers family developed a tradition on Thanksgiving Eve. And that is, we would go to church, because Dad had to do the church thing, and after church at Christ the Rock, don't ask me why, there are certain things that a pastor doesn't get in the way of, and that is they decided we should have pie on Wednesday evening after church. As if we weren't going to have enough food the next day, we should get a jump start on it with pie and ice cream that evening. And then we would go home and load up all the inserts that the kids had. Phil had one paper route, his was nearer. Christmas was a little further away. I would help her with that one quite a bit. But on Wednesday night, it was Meggers family uniting together to deliver these ads that were so important to all those folks. And I bring that up because this Christ the King Sunday to me is just an oasis in between all of that. I want to invite you to hear in what Paul is writing to the Ephesian church when he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, I want you to hear an invitation in this to be attentive to how it is that Paul has us and in the whole church in mind, as he prays for us who have a very special identity, and a holy identity, an identity that is set apart. And that identity is as subjects of Jesus the King. Paul's prayer is firmly founded in who we are. And there's really three ways that he prays for us in this text. The first way is in that opening sentence there, where he says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. As Paul thinks about the Ephesians, as he thinks about what they have done and what they are a part of, their strong faith in the Lord and their love for God's people, there's a thank you there. I want to share a similarly motivated kind of thank you with you for the kinds of work that the people of God do. And let it be part of a motivation to you as well as you hear Paul thanking people, thanking you for what it is that you do and accomplish. You know, last weekend we had the big Thanksgiving turkey blessing, right? 800 turkeys given away, 800 meals given away. We ran out at the end. We have relationships with various agencies throughout the city, one of them being Christian Friends of New Americans, one of them being People of the Book Lutheran Outreach with Hattie and Vicky, and the work that they do reaching into the homes of refugees, largely Muslim. Well, a couple weeks ago, Hattie came to me and asked if again this year they could get some turkeys. About 19 or 20 was the need that they had. And we had a conversation at the seminary at a mission networking that was going on there. And I had told him that we were going to be lower on funds this year. I didn't know if we would be able to satisfy the need that they had because of all the funding of things like all the hurricanes, the Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico, the natural disasters that we were funding. This is what Hattie says. And I thank God for this as well. My family prayed to God to send some church to provide turkeys this year too, as these turkeys made such a difference to these families last year. When we texted you 3 weeks ago, you made us so happy because Concordia, and that's our men's ministry team that put this together, your fellow brothers in Christ, decided to keep us on, and we distributed 20 turkeys to our friends and refugees' families. That includes about 96 people altogether with the families that were reached. And this is the part whereby we give thanks to God for the ministry of the church. And all they always ask families if they can pray for them in the name of Jesus. Now they're reaching into a Muslim community in the name of Jesus. And Hattie reports back that because of the good work that we were able to do with them, in partnership with them, four families accepted that invitation to pray in the name of Jesus. Can you not hear Paul saying, ever since I first heard of that particular work, I give thanks to God for you? The second part of the prayer is as Paul speaks these words, he says, I ask the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. I read knowledge in that. That Paul wants us to know Christ. And we know from other parts of Scripture that the reason that he wants us to know Jesus and to know what it is that God has been doing, he wants us to know the promises that God has kept throughout the Old Testament. He wants us to know Christ as the one who was crucified, Christ as the one risen for us. He wants us to know that intellectually up here so that we have an answer for a reason for the answer, the hope that is within us. Something like that. I know I scrambled that up. But a reason and a way to speak the hope that is within us. And it's not just to have that knowledge, but there's also prayer here that we continue to grow in that knowledge of what it means to have a Lord, a King, who has not only his eyes on us now and us who are able to gather here and worship, but has his eyes on the least of these. And as you heard in that gospel, there's a pretty strong word of awareness as to what it is that Christians are to be about, to be aware of the least of these as if they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because that's what the King calls them, my brothers and sisters. A growth in that knowledge. But there's a second part, a second dynamic here as well, really a third dynamic by if you've been counting, and that is that there's not just prayer for head knowledge, that you might be knowledgeable about God, but that this faith might be something that is in your heart, that you would bear this within you. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. Get the connection between heart and brain. It's like the heart is that which enlightens the knowledge, and the knowledge is that which informs the heart. But these two things are working together, and this is what Paul is praying for you and for me in the church. And he does so with a very firm focus on who we are, that we are those holy people. And this particular sentence alone just, I hope, really grabs your heart and your head. After he talks about being flooded with light at the end of that first paragraph, here's the reason. So that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called. Who are those he has called? This is your Christian identity now. Pay attention to these words. If someone asks you who you are, here's your answer. You are his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. You are the inheritance of Jesus. Now, it's one thing to receive an inheritance, but it is holy, H-O-L-Y, holy other to be the inheritance of Jesus. Basically, to boil it all down is that after all that God has done for us, after all that Jesus has done for us, you know what he gets out of all the doing that he has done? You know what he gets as he sits on that right hand of God? You know what he gets as a result of rising from the dead, conquering sin and death in the grave? He gets us. We are the joy that was set before him. We are his inheritance. And then Paul finishes it off what I guess what I would call the big wrap-up petition for you and me as he has us in his sight line. That we would understand the incredible greatness of God's power. And that incredible greatness of God's power, Paul says, is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Here are his words. This Jesus who rose from the dead, this power that rose him from the dead, lives in us. He says, Christ fills all things everywhere with himself. No Thanksgiving gloating on this feast. Christ fills all things with himself by the same power that raised him from the dead. And as we pivot off of this old year, this year, you know what a pivot is, if you've ever coached or played basketball, it's that point where you've come to a double stop and you make an abrupt turn off one foot so that you can go in that next direction. The next direction that we're going is down the road of Advent, preparation for the coming of the King. Even as we celebrate him today as the King in the midst of this whole Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, to rest, to be still, to know him as the God who is so much more of a world that is so enamored with consumption, but to know him as the God who has you and me in his sight line. And we need to be raised up out of that spirit of consumption, don't we? We need to be made aware that what God is calling us to, what Paul is praying us to, is something that has lasting value. All those ads are there because, you know, we have this desire for immediate gratification, and they know that, right? But I'm reminded of the idea of immediate gratification and how short-lived it really is. With the words of a comedian that I admire so much, his name is Brian Regan. And here are words that no parent has ever said. No parent has ever said, hey, the kids are all upstairs playing with their old Happy Meal toys. Right? But if you remember being in that place where they get to buy their Happy Meal or you buy their Happy Meal, how enamored they are, how much they want that Happy Meal toy, and pretty soon you can't find it and you don't know how many pieces it's in, right? It's no different for us, folks. The latest TV is going to become the old TV. The new Fitbit or new iPhone is going to give way to the next model. The latest jeans that you just have to have are going to become the old jeans that you just have to get rid of because nobody's wearing those anymore. Give ear to who you are. Something much more than mere consumption-oriented people. You are the inheritance of Christ himself. I want to close with some lines from a hymn a song that has really captured what it means to be able to celebrate Christ the King. What does that mean, that we are the inheritance? So from a Jeremy Camp song, it says, we have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there's nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered the enemy. No power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand in victory. Not only do we stand, but we live out that victory in the name of Jesus. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus until such time as the King comes. Amen.